I couldn't find one familiar face. They weren't there anymore. They were taking them away someplace. I couldn't find anybody. So then I told her, I said, Maja, I couldn't find anybody. I couldn't, they're not there anymore. They took them away. So she picked 17 girls and we went back to Prague.
How much longer were you in Proust?
In Proust, in January, around January, the people, they were emptying Stutthof because the Russians were coming close. So overnight, somehow, they let them sleep in our block. Men, women, all together, you know? So who arrives? A Polish guy. He says to me, V. Gates, how are you doing here? I says, I'm doing all right. I says, I have the food. He says, look, I am Polish. I know the territory here. I have some men's clothes. Come with us. I says, I have some friends. We're gonna escape. I says, I have my sister. Would you take my sister? He says, no, I can't. I said, I'm sorry. I'm not going. And he says, you sure? I says, yes, I am sure. I'm not gonna leave my sister. He says, do you have everything? I says, you know what? Now I'm gonna ask you, do you need anything? I says, think what I could give you. I give you my share of bread. Do you want that? I'll be more than happy. You were nice to me when I needed you. I says, now I can at least that much. Ask me for something. He says, no, we don't need anything. We're all prepared to do our things. We're gonna escape. Come with us. I don't know how many they were. He says, I have men's clothes. Come on. I said, no, I'm not going. He says, I wish you good luck and I hope you'll succeed, whatever you do, he said. I said. And that was it. I never saw him in my life.
They escaped? You don't know?
I have no idea.
In any of the camps that you were in, was there any talk of escape or resistance?
No.
People
Maybe
smuggled
these
out?
Polish people were doing it. But we didn't know about it. We were women. We were such innocent, stupid people. We whatever they said, we did.
What about religious?
Nothing.
Serbs? Nothing.
Nothing.
Rosh Hashanah, Yom
Kippur,
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. You know, but that Maja, she said once, boy, she was a best. Boy, she says, well, she was a big Hitler. Oh, the father, our father. She kept on saying. She says, but he did one thing wrong. One thing he shouldn't have done it. This way we would have won the war. That they, he accumulated all these people. What for? He says, what for? What did they do?
She didn't like that he had taken everybody prisoners?
Yes, about the Jews. That this. He says, why did he do that? What for? You couldn't figure her out. One day she was, for Hitler, she was burning, you know? That Hitler, our father, what he's doing for the fatherland. And then she said it to me. She says, that's what he did wrong. What for? What did you? I said, what did I do? Tell me. Can you imagine me doing something? Did I do anything wrong in my life? What? This is what I'm saying. He should have never done this. He said, this way he would have won the war.
Now she left before you? She just, she
well,
and this other woman
you
left.
See then, after all from Stutthof, all the people were evacuating, then we were going, we emptied
right.
The place. We were emptying the place.
Did you ever hear about medical experiments? Anything like that? Block 11 in Auschwitz?
We didn't stay there so
long. You were
long.
In Birkenau anyway. When it
I was in Birkenau, and I was there only 4 weeks. I didn't know what was going on, actually. We knew already what the main reason, what happened. No. I don't know nothing about whatever. I don't know. I heard about it, what was going with the experiments over the twins. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, some. That was
the
some.
Twins? Because I know I have some twins from Munkers. They were in New York. They were.
People who survived?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what they were doing to them. I have no idea. But I know they were in that special place.
Mm-hmm. Now, you left Proust when?
Must be end of January.
And March? Just March?
Marched. We marched. And then we got together with people who were marching away from the Russians too, because I heard the Russians, how should we hear it? Who would tell us? We were marching, and we saw that the people from the towns are going too. They were leaving too, because they were afraid of the Russians. Must have been Germans. I don't know where we were. They didn't tell us. We were marching. It was such a big tumult, you know? So we escaped, three of us.
Were people getting shot? Did you know, did you see anyone being shot?
I wanted to.
All right.
We escaped. See, the people were going this way, and we turned around, we were going, we wanted to go back to the Russians. You know, we figured the Russians will take us in, you know, like mentioned it. We know what's going, what kind of people the Russians are. You're going. So some of them, you know, the people from the town say, where are you going? Where are you going? You know, German. And we said, well, we forgot something. You know, there was always some kind of an excuse. We had done the still the uniform, the blue and gray uniform under our coat. You know, we were, you know, we bundled us up because we couldn't leave at no place. That's what we had on. And the shoes, and we had the turban fixed up, you know, because our hair was so short. So we got to a place where a truck came, and the people were always asking, where are we going, where are we going? It would have been suspicious. So somehow we saw a truck, and we asked, would they give us a ride? There we were. What we were doing, where we were going, I can't tell you. He says, hop in.
Is this a German truck?
Yes.
A military truck?
A military truck. So we went in, and he picked up some other women, too. These women start to talk to us, and she could tell, you know, we are not German. She went to the driver. And she says, what are these, spies? In German. Who are these people here? So the driver came to us. He says, you better get out from here. It's no good that you're here. And he left us all. He knew, I think, who we were.
Was he Wehrmacht?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Because that woman carried on there on the truck. He says, we are spies. So we were again alone. Then we were going and going, and we said, we went into a house, an empty house. We saw a house, we went in there, and we said, we're gonna wait till the Russians will come. But in the meantime, before they empty it, a village or a town, there are some Germans, they go look around whoever is there left over. And what do you think? Two German SS come in. and they find us. And they say, what are you doing here? He says, we're running away from the Russians and we wind up here, we're so tired. He says, you better get out of here because the Russians will be close here. One of them starts to talk Hungarian.
The SS?
The SS. He says in Hungarian, what are you doing here, Hungarians? So we said to them, we run away from Budapest because the Russians are there. We didn't know what else to say to them. And all of a sudden, the ship brought us here, and there we wind up here. We give him a story, a bull story. He says, well, you better get out of here because if you don't want to get to the Russians. He says, oh, sure, we want to go out of here. And we went out.
Then where?
Walking with the people. Walking with the people.
West again.
West again. With the people. We figured we can do it. You know, we cannot do it. We tried and we cannot do it. Two incidents. The third one, we didn't want to take chances. So we were walking. We arrived late at night. It was raining, I think. All of a sudden, it was dark. I said, you know what? Let's bury our uniforms first. I had a Mogendove too. It was dark. We went under a tree. But it was so muddy there, you know, that we took off our dresses. And I took off my Mogendove. My sister somehow got it for me on my birthday from somebody was hiding a Mogendove, and she gave a plate of soup, so she bought it for me on my birthday, and I was carrying it at, you know? But it came this time, I took it off, I buried it, we all buried the dresses in the mud, good and deep, and we had, I think, on a sweater we had and some kind of skirt yet, luckily, you know? And that's what we put on, and we were going. All of a sudden, we got so hungry already. We see some lights. It was something like a bunker or house, a big house. We go in there. And here we hear already the fighting is going. We saw the fire, you know? You know, it was not far the front, but I don't know where we were. So, you know, we were afraid, so we went into this house. There were soldiers there. I don't remember they were SS or the Wehrmacht. They were already tired, you know. They were exhausted. They had some black coffee, and they asked us, who are we? And we told them the story, we're Hungarians, Gentiles. My brother and my father is fighting on the front with the Germans. And we went away, we escaped from the Russians because we lived close by Budapest and they were coming, so we wind up on a ship and somehow we landed here. We don't know where we are, you know. They didn't say where we are. We didn't ask. We didn't want to tell them that we are very anxious to know. Where we are. What's the difference where we are? You know? What would have been make any difference if we know where we are? Maybe for the history would be good. So they gave us black coffee to drink and we were sitting there and laying with them. I mean, you know, in the same room, they were so exhausted. These people were fighting, I don't know for how long. And they were so exhausted already that they just didn't care, I think. So we were, and that was a sanitary outfit. You know about a sanitary? They were like doctors, and they weren't fighting. They were just like, you know, in a hospital to help out sick people. All of a sudden, they went going to Denmark. And they ask us if we want to go with them.
Denmark.
Mm. I said, of course, why not? Why shouldn't we go to Denmark? What do I know about Denmark? You know? but get out of here, on the front, you know, it's here, they're fighting. Maybe, you know, who knows what's going to happen yet. Let's go, we're going. We went on the ship. You know? It's something unbelievable, isn't it? And there were a lot of civilian people going on there too. It's not only that the Germans, you know, the soldiers were going. They were going, we were going too. That was already later. It must have been much later than in January. I don't know what happened between then and there. But I know already that must have been in April. That we went, maybe I'm going to ask my sister what happened. I can't recall.
I'll ask her.
Huh?
I'll ask her.
Ask her, maybe she will remember. That these people, we went to Denmark. I don't know how many days we were on the ocean or what. The main thing, we were, you know, not with the SS. We arrived, they put us, I don't know, someplace out of town, someplace, you know, in a barracks there. We had our room, they had our room, there were lots of them, Wehrmacht. They somehow, we told them we're Hungarians, you know. Somehow they never tried to get close with us. It's amazing, isn't it? I said to, there was my sister and another girl, Irene. I said, you know what, let me go into town and see if there is any Jews. Is there any Jews left over here in Denmark? And for them, I told them I'm going in town to get some eggs or cheeses, you know, something for them, because whatever they got, you know, and they didn't have enough food. So I told them, I'm gonna go. They give me money, you know, German money. I didn't have any money. And I tried, and I went into a store. I spoke only German. They hated me. German? No, they don't want to sell anything. And here I was afraid to tell them I am Jewish. So, in some stores, I went into another store, I got some eggs, I got some cheeses, I brought them some, I gave it to them, we ate them too, you know. Next day I said, let me try and maybe I'll see on the street a Jew, maybe I recognize a Jew. I couldn't, and here I was afraid of. I said to Irene and to my sister, I said, well, we pulled it out so long, why take chances to go to a somebody tell them I am Jewish, they might shoot us. So I didn't. And I should have. That was my mistake, because after I heard that the Denmarks, how good they were to Jews. But we didn't know it. I figured maybe if I see a shoe, I couldn't see a shoe. Here I didn't, and it was a long walk to go there, you know, I had to walk. I was afraid to go to a side street because I wouldn't find my way back. And here, these Danish people, they wouldn't give me no instruction how to get back because they hated it. And I was speaking only German. I couldn't speak any other language. They should understand me. So I was just going down the main street and looking around for a Jew or a shoe. And I couldn't find it. So we stayed there with them for 4 weeks, but as I say, I tried always to go and, you know, maybe. I never succeeded. So then they said the war is over. The war is over, that we heard, the war is over, Germany lost the war. That's all we heard. So now you want to go back? So these people said, we're going back. I said, what am I? Well, how are we going to stay here in Denmark? I haven't got anybody. Can you imagine a country? You don't know the language. You don't know if they like you or they don't like you. Why stay there? I says, we're going to be going back to Germany. We wind up in Lübeck. You know where, you heard about Lübeck. Then we said goodbye to these people, these Wehrmacht people, to those, because some of them were doctors, and the rest of them, they called them sanitary people. You know, they were helping, like, these people didn't fight. These were helping the sick people. So we said goodbye to them. And then we went there in Germany and we registered there. We heard there is a Czech camp. People who are left over from the concentration camp, they went to register. And then so many days there, every 3 or 4 days, went the boss to Prague. So there we got a room with my sister and Irene. And we had rations, you know, we got our food. I says, I got time to go home. Why should I go? I have it good here. Why do I know whom will I find and whom I won't find? Let me. In the meantime, these Germans, they lived someplace out in the woods. Because they couldn't go home. Why? I don't know. And we always went to visit them. They were good. They actually saved our lives to be with them.
The same group.
The same group. The doctors. There were a few doctors and the rest of the guys, you know, were still there. And we were going there. We were socializing with them already. Why do you think one day, who do we see? Macha? In Lübeck? She says, how about you girls don't go home and we could stay together? And we said, oh no. So she says, where are you going? What are you doing? So we told her that we are with these people, with those doctors, and they are there and there. In the meantime, we went to report her, there was the English government there in Lübeck. They didn't do a goddamn thing. We told her what she was doing, how she was doing to those girls, 25, she slept on them, you know. And they didn't do anything. In the meantime, she was looking for us. We didn't tell her where we live. She went to these people, to those Germans, and told them who we are. One day we went to visit them, and they told us. They said, well, what you did with us, you didn't tell us the truth, that you were Jewish. I said, so we said, why, if we would tell you that we are Jewish, won't you go and report us to the SS? Won't you do that? They says, well, I have to give you credit the way you were behaving yourself. That you could persuade us and believe that you are Hungarians. I says, we want to survive. And we had to do it. Well, they become then after that friends like. He says, look, I really, it's amazing. It's just wonderful. I don't think we would report you, you know, whatever they said after. But I wouldn't take the chances. So.
Did you go back to Munkacs?
No.
Never went back? What? No.
That's why I said that I heard that guy was there and looking for me. And not that I would have thinking seriously with him. To me, it was like a little inspiration. You know, I was a young girl. You know, something to look forward to, not to have that life, you know, that monotony life. And who knows, maybe tomorrow I'll be killed. Well, we all have this in our minds. Maybe someday they're gonna get a thing that, you know, what do we need her? Why should we feed them? Kill all of us. That's all. So this way it had something, you know, a little bit of inspiration. But I would never think about it, you know, serious, because, you know, he was nice.
How did you come to the United States?
To the United States? Well, with an affidavit. I had an aunt in the mountains, in New York mountains, and she sent us an affidavit. That's how we came.
Wow, you contacted her from Lübeck?
I went from Lübeck. See, we stayed in Lübeck till the last minute, till they accumulated all the girls who wanted to go back. I tell you something else. My sister met there a friend. She was from Ungva, not far from Munkács. She was going back already, you know? And my sister wrote a letter to whom and makes concern. We didn't know who's alive, who's not alive. I am here with Helen, and we're all right. Love, Shari. That's what my sister wrote with this girl who was going to Czechoslovakia. That girl arrived in Teplice Shanov, where my brother lived and my uncle, he should rest in peace, who came out after, you know, the war. And my brother and my uncle, all the people who lived there, whoever came from Germany, the girls, they were always standing by to see who's coming home. And whoever didn't have anybody, somebody took in that girl, and you know, like a Jewish family, that to help her out till she finds somebody. So my brother, he was always standing there by that bus, because they joined, there was that organization. They told them when the bus is coming in from Germany, you know? All of a sudden, this woman comes down, he says, is there anybody from Munkács, Schönfeld? So my brother said, yes, it's me. So she says, well, there is two of your sisters out there in Lübeck. And my brother looked at my sister's handwriting. I'm sorry. He fainted. He fell down and fainted. And so my uncle took that letter. So my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, he was in Prague. My brother was a soldier there, you know, they had those Czech army, so they volunteered. And they fought with the Russians, but on the Czech side, you know. And my brother-in-law too. So right away, my brother, you know, they start, all of them sudden, you know, they start to pick him up and try to, you know. So he let my brother-in-law know that we are alive. So don't ask. They knew it, that another brother, he was in Carlsbad, so he let him know too that, you know, we are alive.
Where is this brother now?
Which one? This one here.
The one who faith?
Yeah, here. And so they tried to get a taxi because they didn't see that we're not coming and you couldn't ride or telephone, no communication. So they tried to take a taxi, you know, to pay for a taxi, they should take them to Lübeck. You know, because that woman said exactly where we are. But you couldn't, because you had to go to I don't know how many countries to go through, you know, Russian, and, you know, so they couldn't. So they had to wait till we're coming home. So the last bus, they said, that's it, we're closing up. So I said, then we have to go home. So let's see where we're going to go home. So we arrived in Prague. And you know, it was for me easy to commute with the bus driver. He spoke Czech, I spoke Czech. It came back to me, don't forget, from 1938 till 45. I wasn't allowed to speak Czech by the Hungarians, God forbid, you know. And when you were in Czechoslovakia, you speak Hungarian, they told you, the Czech people, you know, after the war, you want to speak Hungarian, go to Hungary. Anyway, so he stopped, and I see in Prague, on the street, I see a woman from Munkács. I said to the driver, please stop, I want to go talk to that woman. So I went on the bus, and I says, do you know if anybody is alive from my family? And I told her who I am, you know? She was an older person. She says, oh, of course. She says, your brother-in-law, your brother. I says, how about, I have two more brothers. Well, I knew already with my parents what happened, but at least, you know, he was young. She says, look, I don't know. She says, you know what? There is a, she told me, go here, she gives me an address. You go here and here at night. This is a very famous restaurant in Prague. She says, all these people from people who came back and who are here, I says, from they meet here. Why don't you go there? Maybe you're gonna meet your brother here or your brother-in-law. In the meantime, the bus took us to the YMCA, you know. There, we had nothing. So they took us there, okay. I said to my sister, I says, you know what, let me go out on the street, look at her, maybe if I'll see somebody. I go out, and I go a few streets, and I see a boy from Munkács. That boy, tell you the truth, I wouldn't even look after him if I would see him in Munkács. But when I saw him, I start to hug him and kiss him. You know, I says, oh, it's so nice to see somebody from home. I says, tell me, do you know anybody is alive from my brother? He knew my brothers, he knew my family. He says, look, he says, I know your two brothers is alive. I know your brother-in-law is alive. I says, go to this place. You know, he told me the same thing, and you'll see them. Okay, so I went back. My sister was standing at the YMCA, and I told him, whom did I meet? And I says, we have to go at night to that place. She says, you know what, I'll stay here. You know, we had a little few soap and a little underwear, you know. She says, I'm gonna take care of this here. She says, you go. She says, okay, I'm going. I go there in the evening. I meet there, lots of them from Munkács, and I says, how about my brother? How about my brother-in-law? There is one guy says, look, I have a ticket with your brother-in-law tomorrow afternoon. Is a very important soccer game is playing. It's you know, very famous. He says, you know what? I sacrifice my ticket. I want you to go. You know, here is the ticket. You go tomorrow. Because nobody knew where my brother-in-law lives. You know, they get together there, and that's as far as they go. So I went back, and I told that to my sister. I said, tomorrow we're going to go to the soccer field, to the soccer, you know, it's a big stadium in Prague. So we go there, and we had only one ticket. Couldn't go in. You could buy another ticket. It was all sold out. I go in. She says, you know what, you go in. I was always the macher, you know? I says, okay. I go in there and I see my brother-in-law in the uniform, Czech uniform, you know. He's sitting there and, you know, so excited. I go close to him and I clap on his back and he turns around. Oh no, you know, well, he says, where is Shariko? I says, she's outside. So right away he came there. Now, what can I tell you, that reunion? I don't have to tell you what we went through there. I says, where is Tibor? You know, it's my brother. And Martin, where is Martin? Where is Ushi? It's my youngest. So he says, Tibor is in Budapest. Martin is in Carlsbad. He says, Ushi didn't come back. He says, come on, let's go, we're going home. I had a beautiful apartment there. He says, I knew where you are, but I knew you're alive, but We came back maybe 6 weeks later after they knew that we are alive. So you can imagine that here they couldn't do anything to get to us. Anyway, it was a big reunion. Then, you know, he called. Yeah, this guy who I met at that rest, at, you know, on the street, he went to Budapest. And in Budapest, he met my brother. You mean it's you know, such a miracle things. In such a big city, exactly, he met my brother. And he says, I met your sister in Prague, there in Prague. So he picked himself up right away and he came. I mean, from Budapest to Prague. And the other brother, somebody else told him, you know, the news goes far. He came in too. You know, when my brother, when my brother came from Budapest, he picked me up like this, and he started to kiss me from the top to the bottom. He says, I am so happy to see you. At least you're all alive. No, I am, but thank you. You know, to go through this emotion, to see each other, yet we didn't know that we are alive or not. And when my other brother came, he was just holding my hand. And he says, I'm pinching myself. Is it true that you are alive? And he said, thank God. I don't know why I got so emotional. I think after all these things, you know, that what I was telling you before, gets to me.
It's your family.
No, but you know, even before, you know, all these things. So that was the reunion with my family, but I still get dreams that I'm running and the Germans are coming after me and they try to catch me. And I wake up that my heart is in my throat and you know, I look around and I say, where am I? Is it true or it isn't true? I get those horrible dreams once in a while, not often. I don't even think about it. I don't talk about it.
Is there any time certain kinds of occasions, or even just while you're doing things during the day, that something flashes through your memory, you remember something from the camps? Does that ever happen?
If they talk about it, or I see it on television, you know, it reminds me of, oh, I went through this, or that's what happened to me too, you know?
When you're at a simcha, do you ever think about?
No, I don't, I try not to. I never talk about it, you know? I get together with people. I don't want to bring up sad things. They're not interested. Maybe they have some other troubles what they go through, you know? Why should I pour out I don't like to make fear people that, you know, they should feel sorry for me.
Did you talk about it when you first came to the United States to anybody?
If they ask me.
But only if they ask.
Yes.
Did they ask?
I don't know. I don't remember.
You told your son.
Oh, my son, I did tell him what I went through, yes. Oh, yeah, he knows what I went through.
Did you sit down with him one day and say, I want to tell you what this was about?
Yes.
Or was it bits and pieces here?
It was like bits and pieces too, and you know, oh yeah, he knows that what I did.
When you came to the United States, and you became a citizen in the United States?
Yes.
Where in New York was your aunt living?
She was in the Catskill Mountains. She lived there. We didn't arrive there. She didn't come and see us then. She figured. I had an uncle too, and then they both of them put together the money and sent us the affidavit. But they weren't so anxious to see us, tell you the truth. So we came here.
To Detroit?
To Detroit because my uncle was here, you know, I told you about it. He survived the concentration camp too. So he came to Detroit, he remarried here, he has two sons. And so he lived here, so we came here. For what reason, I don't know why, we wind up here. I wish we wouldn't. Would have been better to go out west. It's nicer there, because my brother lives there, so I go visit him, you know, and it's beautiful there.
Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
We have also...
Oh, I like. Was it there?
We've spent several months there.
Right? Isn't that beautiful there?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. So...
I don't want to take too much more of your time.
I don't know what else can I tell you.
When your son was born, what kinds of plans did you have for him, or do you have for him?
Plans? Like what?
Well, what did you hope for in the future for your son?
Well, he should be a Jew, and he should remember. And I told him, I says, David, we never believed that could happen to us. I said, you have that in your mind too. It could happen. It could happen. But be prepared for it. We weren't prepared for it.
Is he married?
He's going to get married, yes.
And he's a physician?
Yes.
Must be very proud of him.
Yeah. Of course, you know, he achieved something that, you know, I am proud.
Do you think that you became stronger from all this?
Yes. But I lived through, believe me, I lived through. All right, I had what to eat here and there, you know, like I told you. But I lived in fear. I lived because I had to live. It wasn't my choice. Because I was figuring maybe next day, who knows what's going to happen to me. We live for the moment, for the hour.
Do you think that because your sister was with you, you felt you had to help?
I think because I was with my sister, I saved her life. I think I feel that way because I was the one who was always, you know, helping her, like, you know, when she was in Stuttgart, she was sick with an ear infection. And here I couldn't help her. And then when in Prague, when she was going out to work, and I took put her out from there because she looked terrible. That son, first of all, you know, I guess the people didn't have enough vitamin in themselves. And to stay on the sun, they were burned. They had blotches, all of them. That sun blotches on their faces, you know, they looked terrible. And that I pulled her out from there, I think that I helped her, you know, that because she is here. And when she finds out what happened to her little boy, so you can imagine what she carried on, you know. That was Eva's brother.
Are you close with Eva, too?
Very much. I love her. She is like my daughter. I'm so close to her.
And they live nearby? Your sister too?
My sister lives in Livonia. It's not far. You know, with a car nowadays, it's no place. In 20 minutes I'm there. No, we are a close family.